More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Camel.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to talk to you about what corruption looks like when you are a Democrat and you give an insane amount of money to the Democratic Party, but you get busted doing something illegal. I'm going to go back in time and remind you about the disgraced FTX CEO. Who is Sam Bankman-Fried? He is a Democrat mega donor. Now, when I say mega donor, I want you to understand that he was the second biggest donor to the Democratic Party during the last election cycle during the final days when he was getting busted. Yeah, he was paying money to Democratic campaigns like you wouldn't believe. Well, he ran a Ponzi scheme, one of the biggest financial frauds in the history of the United States of America. And he has now been sentenced to just 25 years in prison for fraud after facing up to 100 years in jail. This guy's younger, meaning he is going to get out of jail if he doesn't die in jail at a pretty young age. Now, his sentence also pales in comparison to Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff, for example, received a sentence of 150 years for his financial crimes. The judge, Lewis Kaplan, that sentenced Bankman-Fried said that Sam Bankman-Fried, also known as SBF, committed witness tampering before he was remanded into custody when he communicated with a former FTX general counsel. Kaplan also found that he committed perjury during his trial testimony. He reportedly falsely testified that he had no knowledge that Alameda Research, FTX's sister company and hedge fund, had spent FTX's customer deposits before the fall of 2022. So this guy's an habitual liar. He lied to the court. He also talked to witnesses that he wasn't supposed to talk to. Kaplan also said, this is the judge, that Bankman-Fried wanted to be a hugely politically influential person in this country. And that led to his, quote, financial crimes. The 25-year sentence pales in comparison to the potential 100 years, meaning he got 25% of what he should have gotten, that he was facing based on his crimes, based on perjury, and based on witness tampering. Prosecutor Nicholas Roos said Sam Bankman-Fried stole more than $8 billion. And all you get is 25 years for stealing $8 billion if you are a Democrat mega donor. Yeah, he stole over $8 billion in customer money. And I emphasize stole because it was not a liquidity crisis or an act of mismanagement or poor oversight from the top. It was not a bloodless financial loss on paper, for example. Bankman-Fried's attorneys told the court on Thursday that Sam was not a ruthless financial serial killer who set out every morning to, quote, hurt people. His real motivations, they say, were misapprehended and misunderstood. Really, he's an awkward math nerd. He loves video games and veganism, and he's compassionate to animals, they added. Quote, a lot of people feel really let down, and they were very let down, and I'm sorry about that. I am sorry about what happened at every stage, and there are things I should have done and things I shouldn't have, Bankman-Fried told the court. But in early November, Bankman-Fried, who was convicted of 5 counts of conspiracy and 2 counts of wire fraud, well, he knew he was going to probably be taken care of because the Democrats that cashed his checks, well, they knew that he helped them get elected. But first, let me tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile. If you are like me and you are so sick and tired of giving your money to woke companies that are fighting against your values and actually hate you and your family values, I'm not joking when I say that. They despise you. Well, then you need to switch your cell phone company. You may not realize that Big Mobile gives insane donations. I'm talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars to hardcore leftists that are that are running for office at the local, the state, the national level. They also give massive donations to liberal causes and think tanks. They give massive donations to Planned Parenthood. So, you can't say now, I didn't know, Ben, because I just told you. Now you know what Big Mobile is doing with your dollars when you pay your bill. The good news is, there is Patriot Mobile. You get the same exact coverage you're used to now because they use the same networks that you are used to right now. Yeah, that's right. There are 3 major networks in this country, and you can use any one of those when you switch to Patriot Mobile. But here's the best part. When you switch, a portion of your bill every month is going to go back to support conservative causes. It's conservative organizations that support our First Amendment rights, our Second Amendment rights, support the rights of unborn children, and most importantly, support our veterans, our wounded warriors, and our first responder heroes. So make the switch. It's easy. They have 100% U.S.-based customer service team, so they make switching like as easy as they can make it. When I look down at my phone, I see Patriot in the top left corner, and I know I'm making a difference every time I send a text or use my phone and pay my bill. 972-PATRIOT is their number. Call them, and you're going to get free activation by using the promo code BEN. 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Make the switch to Patriot Mobile today. You're going to love the service. You can keep your same cell phone number. 972-PATRIOT at patriotmobile.com/Ben. All right. Now, ahead of Bankman-Fried's sentencing, the current FTX CEO, John Ray, issued a scathing rebuke of Bankman-Fried, saying that the former FTX CEO made callously and demonstrably false claims in Bankman-Fried's efforts to secure a lighter prison term. Ray said that the harm caused by Bankman-Fried is vast and his remorse is, quote, non-existent. Although one court convicted Bankman-Fried of fraud and conspiracy, the Department of Justice, known as the DOJ, guess what? They declined to prosecute Bankman-Fried for his alleged unlawful political donations using customer funds for his alleged bribery of foreign officials. Let me say that again. The Department of Justice said, we are not going to prosecute Bankman-Fried for unlawful political donations. Why? Because the donations were going to Democrats. And Democrats looked the other way instead of regulating what was going on with cryptocurrency and FTX. And they knew that there may be something going on there they didn't want to know about. And so therefore they said, hey, we'll just look the other way and hope the money keeps rolling in. And Bankman-Fried knew that. Breitbart News reported this way, saying, quote, indeed, during the height of his influence, Bankman-Fried sought to outpace Democratic mega donor George Soros as the largest donor to the Democratic Party. He reportedly spent $100 million in stolen customer funds to donate mostly to Democrats. And he was the second largest donor to Joe Biden's presidential campaign. Only former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg gave more money to Joe Biden, to put it in perspective. Now, that's not the only thing Bankman-Fried understood. He understood that buying influence also meant working with the Democratic Party. Now, why was Bankman-Fried wanting influence? It wasn't because he just wanted to be powerful. It was because he didn't want oversight for a business that he knew was basically corrupt as hell. That's what it really boiled down to. And as long as he was giving money, basically 10% to the big guy, which was the Democratic Party in this case, he knew that they weren't going to regulate him. And therefore, if you're stealing money, why not give basically a mini bribe to the Democratic Party so you can keep your Ponzi scheme alive? That's exactly what Bankman-Fried was doing. One Puck News report found that Bankman-Fried wasn't just giving donations, becoming one of the biggest, if not trying to become the biggest Democratic donor to the Democratic Party. That's not all he was doing. They also found out that Bankman-Fried sought advisors as well as conducted data experiments to help Democrats before the 2024 elections. Bankman-Fried's mother, Barbara Fried, helped craft these, quote, strategic memo that guided the Democrats' 2020 election strategy as a leader of the Democratic super PAC mined the gap. Fried, a Stanford University professor, argued that Democrats should move to get nonpartisan Americans registered to vote, as it is our, quote, 4 to 10 more times cost effective at netting additional Democratic voters. So if you think that Bankman-Fried's this guy that didn't know what he was doing, you're wrong. And his mom, by the way, knew what was going on as well. And that's why she was writing that memo and was a top mind in the Democratic Party about how Democrats can win. Now, let's go back to the trial. The trial against Bankman-Fried yielded many startling revelations about him and how he operated the cryptocurrency exchange. And what this included was, well, SBF claimed to be soulless when writing a list of pros and cons about being in a relationship with Caroline Ellison, his on and off girlfriend at the head of Alameda. That was that sister company. Lawyers for Bankman-Fried claimed he was simply a math nerd who didn't steal from anyone. That was a lie. FTX co-founder Gary Wang spilled his guts on the company's fraud. And bribery and Thai prostitutes were used as bargaining chips to unlock $1 billion of frozen funds on other digital currency exchanges, as part of what we found out at trial. We also know that Bankman-Fried needed Adderall to meaningfully participate in the trial. And Bankman-Fried ignored employee concerns about extravagant spending, including a $30 million penthouse in the Bahamas that served as the company's headquarters.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from my, from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This isn't all that we found out at his trial. We also found out that Bankman-Fried skimmed the company's terms of services, didn't even read it. Bankman-Fried was, quote, foolish to stand as a witness during the trial, but he's a narcissist and didn't matter. Lawyers for Bankman-Fried decried his conditions in jail, including lack of, quote, vegan meals, saying because he's following his principles that Bankman-Fried is only now subsisting on a diet of bread and water. Really? Another infamous fraudster, to put it in perspective, Bernie Madoff was sentenced to 150 years in prison for his multi-billion dollar fraud scheme. Now, you look at how much money this guy had and how much money he stole from people. He stole billions and billions of dollars from a lot of people that had a lot of money in FTX. In fact, he stole over $8 billion in customer money. And then he was paying the big guy, the Democratic Party, so they would look the other way and not regulate him. So that is how, by the way, you get sentenced to only 25 years in prison for fraud. That's how you get the DOJ to not come after you the way they should have prosecuted him for stealing funds and then using it for political influence and donations. They could have done that, but they didn't. Why? Because he was supporting Democrats. This is supposed to be the land of the free, the home of the brave, where you can actually, you know, believe in a system that's supposed to be fair and just, right? That's dead, folks. Those days are over. When you can do what he did, and all because you're a top Democrat mega donor, they will help basically cover up your crimes, and then you only get sentenced 25 years in prison, which I'm sure he'll get out before the 25 years. And Bankman-Fried, just so you know, is going to live a real life outside of jail. Why do I know this? Because the dude's 32 years old. If you do 32 and you add 25 to it, and let's say that he's there, let's just call it 15. This guy's going to get out in his late 40s, okay? If he does all 25 years, he's still just 57 when he gets out? Sam Bankman-Fried is going to be out of jail. If he doesn't die in jail, if someone doesn't kill him in jail, the FTX founder who stole $8 billion because he was a Democratic mega donor will live outside of jail and probably live for a long time. Now, what I don't understand is the fact that the media isn't more telling you this story, because when this story broke, let me let you hear what they said on MSNBC about this when the story broke. Listen carefully as they describe it to their audience, not talking about how little of a sentence this is. No, no, no. They're not going to tell you that, because he's one of theirs.
What's the latest?
Yeah, much more than his team had been asking for. 6.5 years is what they wanted, no more than. It looks like it's 25 years is what a judge has sentenced Sam Bankman-Fried to in prison here for those 7 counts that he was found guilty on of defrauding investors. Remember, these were Main Street investors, many of them, who were enticed into joining the FTX exchange as a way to get into the crypto craze. In fact, he was using that money to invest in risky hedge funds that he was also affiliated with. He was spending the money. He was donating the money to political campaigns. And so in a pretty quick sentencing here, more than 2 decades in prison for him. I mean, he had faced, Jose, up to 110, if you look at the statutes there. But in fact, 25 years is what this judge has decided on here. And I will say that Sam Bankman-Fried on the stand in his beige prison garb just an hour or so ago, he was a little more apologetic than we had have seen in appearances past, where he had been defiant. He said, I was responsible for FTX and its collapse is on me. A judge sentencing him to 25 years, Jose.
I love how they spin that. Did you notice the beginning of NBC News? They're like, breaking news. Well, it's a lot more than what they wanted. His team wanted only 6.5 years, and he got 25. So they're selling you on, like, this is some grand, massive, at one hell of a time in prison. You notice what they didn't tell you there, right? What did they not tell you? They didn't tell you that he was facing up to 100 years in prison, and he only got a fourth of that, right? Like, that would have been honest reporting. Like, in a shocking move, right? In a shocking moment here. That would be normal for them to report it that way. Sid Bankman-Fried walks out, and more than likely, instead of having a life sentence in essence, dying in prison with a 100-year sentence, he will get out in his 50s, if not sooner. That should have been what was actually said. But instead, they compared it to the 6.5 years his attorneys were fighting for, saying he should only get 6.5 years. Should only be 6.5 years, folks. That's it. Just 6.5 years. That's all. Just 6.5 years. When you compare it to 6.5, I think we can all agree, 25 seems pretty extreme. When you look at the people's lives that Sid Bankman-Fried ruined and the $8 billion that he stole and then lied and then was witness tampering and then talking to others and doing and committing all of these other crimes while he was in custody and while he was out on bail. You look at all of this and you put it all together and you're like, are you kidding me? This is justice in America today. You can take $8 billion, people's entire life's work, and you can steal, and then there's no accountability. Because I would argue this is no accountability. 25 years, that's nothing for what this man did to people. I'm sorry. This is when I say this is nothing, this is nothing. Like, this is nothing. People should be really, really angry over this and this level of corruption. They should be angry that you can buy your way to some sort of lack of accountability and freedom, because he did. He bought freedom. Like, that's the other part of this that people need to, I think, really get their head around, is he bought his freedom. He was able to buy, you could argue, 75 years off of his sentence. 75 years off his sentence, folks. That's a hell of a long time. Okay, that's not like a little bit of time. That's a really long time. 75 years. And he did it because he was a massive donor to the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party always takes care of their own. And they knew that his money helped them in the elections. And this was their way of repaying. Like, hey, you got busted, okay? You did. Right? Like, you got busted. However, we're going to take care of you. We're not going to prosecute you for stealing people's money and then giving political donations, because honestly, we don't want to highlight that. We don't want to highlight how much money you were giving to us, right? So we're gonna whitewash that one and just kind of move on past that as fast as we can. We'll start with that, and then look, we're gonna make sure that you don't get a bunch of charges against you. We'll kind of limit those, and even though things are gonna be very bad for you, they're not gonna be that bad for you, because we're gonna give you like 25%. You'll get out early from that, and that's going to help you as well. And so you're going to probably, yeah, you're going to be there a while, but you're not going to die there. That's the deal. That's the deal that he received. All because he was, in essence, buying off. This is bribery. How is it not bribery? He was bribing Democratic officials with donations to not monitor him, to not regulate his industry. It was an unregulated industry. There were no checks and balances here. And he got away with all of it because he was willing to write a check with funds that were stolen. And now he's going to be back out on the streets in America living a life of freedom. I don't know what the minimums are. I haven't seen that yet. But I'm sure he'll get off for good behavior. I'm sure they'll parole him because he's nonviolent criminal at some point. This dude, and I don't know what the minimums are, but I mean, I could see him getting out in 7 years, 5 years. Who knows what the real number is? I don't know what that number is, okay? I want to be clear. I don't know. But I promise you it's not going to be 25 years. Mark my word. They'll figure a way to get him out even sooner than that because he was a good soldier for the Democratic Party.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to get to another major issue as well that we need to talk about, and that deals with Mexico and the Mexican president flexing their muscles and blackmailing America and our president that if you don't give us $20 billion every year, we're going to keep flooding your country with fentanyl and we're going to keep flooding your country with illegal immigrants. He is now basically holding this country hostage and he knows it. And that's giving him leverage because we have a president that is now clearly saying that the flow of migrants will continue unless the U.S. meets his blackmail demands. Now, 60 Minutes did an interview with the president of Mexico talking about what's happening. And he made it clear, look, you want something good to happen in your country? It's going to cost you. And how much is it going to cost you? Billions of dollars every single year. And if you don't go with our demands, which is $20 billion demand per year, then we'll keep killing American citizens with fentanyl and we'll keep flooding your country with illegals. What's even more shocking is that in his demands for America for the $20 billion, he's also standing up for Venezuela and Cuba, which should tell you about the value set of Mexico's president. Yes, the president there standing with the socialists and the communists, some of the worst people in the world, and he wants us to pay them off. Sounds like a narco-terrorist to me. Take a listen.
He thinks you have the power in this moment to slow down migration. Do you plan to?
We do, and want to continue doing it. But we do want for the root causes to be attended to, for them to be seriously looked at.
With the ear of the White House, President Lopez Obrador proposed his fix, that the United States commit $20 billion a year to poor countries in Latin America and the Caribbean, lift sanctions on Venezuela, end the Cuban embargo, and legalize millions of law-abiding Mexicans living in the U.S.
If they don't do the things that you said need to be done, then what?
The flow of migrants will continue.
Your critics have said what you're doing or what you're asking for to help secure the border is diplomatic blackmail. What do you say?
I'm speaking frankly. We have to say things as they are.
We have to say things as they are. It's diplomatic blackmail. That's what it is. He's saying, you're going to give me what I want. You're going to make all the people that we sent across the border American citizens. And if you don't do this, then we will keep flooding your border on purpose with fentanyl. He also criticized the United States of America when it comes to the issue of fentanyl, making it very clear that he says it's your fault you guys are doing so much drugs.
The head of the DEA says cartels are mass producing fentanyl. And the U.S. State Department has said that most of it is coming out of Mexico. Are they wrong?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Or rather, they don't have all the information because fentanyl is also produced in the United States.
The State Department says most of it's coming from Mexico.
Fentanyl is produced in the United States, in Canada, and in Mexico. And the chemical precursors come from Asia. You know why we don't have the drug consumption that you have in the United States? Because we have customs, traditions, and we don't have the problem of the disintegration of the family.
But there is drug consumption in Mexico.
But very little.
So why the violence then in Mexico?
Because drug trafficking exists, but not the consumption.
This is an evil man, and we, are too kind to Mexico, especially when we're being blackmailed this way. This is why this upcoming election is so important. And this is why it's so important that we get somebody that actually secures the border. This is the reason why you cannot negotiate with these individuals. I would say it's very clear. This man is controlled by some of the worst people in the world, including dictators in Cuba and Venezuela. Why would he be negotiating on their behalf? Is it because of the narcos and the drug trade? You got to understand, he loves the drugs pouring out of his country into America, killing American citizens, because it makes there's more money in his ecosystem. There's more money in his economy. He loves the number of illegals that have come across the border. You want to know why? Because the number one stimulus of Mexico's economy was illegal immigrants sending money back home to Mexico. In fact, it outpaced oil production in Mexico. So the illegal immigrants, he's demanding, hey, I'll give you a secure border, but you got to give all those people amnesty, right, that are in America. It's because he knows they're sending money back to Mexico. That's number one. That's the most important thing to him. He doesn't want to cut down on the fentanyl coming across because it's helping his economy. The fentanyl coming across our border. And him demanding, also blackmailing us, it is blackmail. Demanding this type of cash, demanding that we spend not one time, but every year billions and billions of dollars that we give to these countries that hate us. And he's going to sit there and put that money, I'm sure, part of it in his pocket and laugh every single day. I want you to think about, and I mean this, I want you to think about this president. Does that sound like a friend of the United States of America? Does that sound like somebody that is an ally of the United States of America? If a country is holding you hostage and blackmailing you and helping kill your citizens and invading your country and helping others invade your country and not stopping it and saying they can, how can you say that Mexico is our ally? They're clearly not our ally. They're not our ally in any capacity. They're not our ally in any form of the word. These are corrupt individuals, and they are compromised by the narco-terrorists down there. I believe we should that they should be treated like terrorists. I believe those that are shipping in fentanyl into this country, they should be treated like they are terrorists. They're killing American citizens. How many Americans are dying? The number one killer in this country, 49 and under, is overdoses from fentanyl, which is coming across our southern border. And he's telling us, I can fix the problem, but I'm putting a gun to your head and I'm blackmailing you. You've got to give me billions every year and lift the trade issues, embargoes on Cuba, and lift the sanctions on Venezuela. And if and only if you do that, then and only then will I help you. That is not an ally. That is no different than what I would expect literally from the narcos in Mexico. It's no different than what I would expect from some of the worst people in the world. And he knows that Americans are dying, and he knows how the drugs are flowing across. He knows who they are. He knows who's in charge of the money that's coming across the southern border and the drugs that are coming with it and the human trafficking. He knows it all, folks. He wasn't lying when he said, yes, I can stop all this. I can. He could flip a switch tomorrow if he wanted to. But you have to understand the narcos, they love this guy. By the way, the Venezuelans love this guy. By the way, the Cubans love this guy. I'm sure the Russians love this guy. They all love him. And the reason why is because he's not a friend of America's. He is not an ally to America. He should never be treated like he is a friend of America. He is an individual that is clearly hostile towards America, advocating and supporting the destruction of America. That's what he is doing. And anyone that thinks that he's not, then you didn't listen to his words and you didn't listen to what he said. He's also criticizing America's way of life. I mean, that's one arrogant SOB, if you ask me. He's sitting there mocking America and telling America, well, these are your problems in America, and we're a better country than you are, and we don't have that problem of consumption of alcohol that you guys have, or I'd say drugs in America that you guys have. Yeah, sure, we make it. Sure, we kill you guys with it. Yes, we have tons of money that come into our economy because of it, but we're not consuming it like you guys are. He's mocking us to our faces, and he's supposed to be an ally. That interview with 60 Minutes did not sound in any way like an ally of the United States of America. It did not sound like someone that was concerned about American children, about America's young people who are dying from accidental overdoses each and every day. It didn't sound like it was someone that was concerned about, quote, us Americans when we are killed and murdered by those that are coming across the southern border and raped by those coming across the southern border. Like, it doesn't seem like this guy cares about any American who's dying or being raped or abused or sex trafficked or human trafficked as long as he's making some money off of it. You want to know what domestic terrorism looks like? You want to know what terrorism is? It's basically what this president of Mexico is allowing to come across our southern border right now. And then he's saying, if you pay me, I'll make it stop. That is blackmail. He is blackmailing the United States of America. Make sure you share this podcast with your family and friends, please. Write us a 5-star review, and I'll see you back here tomorrow.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Campbell.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.